time with everything. You can count on it. You can bank on it. No matter what you and I are going through in this life, we know that there's going to be some bumps along the way. Everything is not going to be peaches and cream. We know that every one of us is not always going to be on cloud nine all the time. There's going to be some valleys that we're going to go through. And there's going to be some testing of our faith. Jesus said, I've been tested. Jesus said, I've been through it. He says, and I've been hated. And he says, if I've been hated and if I've been through some things, he says, guess what? You're going to go through. You're going to be hated. You're not going to be where that just everything is just cloud nine all the time. You're going to go through some things. But he said this, but I'm with you. Lo, I'm with you to the very end. He is with us to the very end. Heaven and earth will pass away, but what did he say? He says, but my word will never pass away. And that's what we're to look at today, folks, is we're to stay close to the word of God. We are to stay in that GPS that I've told you about. That's the word of God. We've got to stay in that word. The word has to be in us, and it has to be near us. My sister was telling me, as I had been up to the hospital every day since 17 days with her. And so she has told me, she says, Tim, I've never quoted so much scripture in my life, but she said, because I have studied the Word of God and because I had heard our dad, our dad had preached for many, many years. She said, I heard dad preach the Word of God over and over and over for so many years since I was a little kid. And she says, now, everything now is coming back to my remembrance. And she says, I'm just laying here in the bed, just rolling those scriptures over in my mind, just praying for the Lord's will. And folks, that's what it is. Whenever things hit us, and there'll be things sometimes that will hit us, and you may not be going through something right now. You may be fine right now, and that's great. But somewhere along the way in life, sometimes you will hit a hard point. You'll hit a hard knock. And you're going to need to know the Word of God. You're going to need to know how to pray. You're going to need to know how to get in touch with the Lord. And while you are where you're at right now, soak in all of the Word of God that you can get. Pray all that you can pray. Because, again, we never know when things come our way and when we're going to need to divert to the Word of God, because the enemy is out there to kill, steal, and to destroy, and he's going to do everything he can to stop you from serving the Lord. He's going to cause you to try to stop you from praying, stop you from reading the Word of God, and so you've got to understand his devices and what he's up to, and you've got to be a good soldier for the Lord. You don't give in, you don't give up, you don't give out. You keep fighting. You've got to have fight in you. And so I encourage you today to stay in tune with God. Let God be in the center of your heart and in your life and in your family's life. And I promise you, you will get a lot longer in life further down the road when you've got Christ in the center of your heart and life. Today, I start a new series called Slavery to Freedom. And so for the next couple of months, this series is a long one, I want us to look at the book of Exodus. And I want you, as we go into the book of Exodus of the Old Testament, I want you to make some time, if you will. Your pastor's asking you to make some time. Read the book of Exodus on your time, on your leisure time. Read through the book of Exodus, because we're going to be talking a little bit about the book of Exodus, and we're going to go through this for a little while, a series, and you're going to learn a lot about Moses. You're going to learn a lot about what went on. You're going to learn a lot about Aaron. You're going to learn a lot here, and I promise you it will encourage you from slavery to freedom. And God doesn't want us to be enslaved, but he wants us to be free. And he's wanting us to live a free life. And how that we live a free life is to know that Jesus Christ is to be in the center of our heart and life. And so we want to look at this a little bit as time will permit here. Slavery to Freedom series, sermon number one. And my title of my message today is this: Pharaoh, a Man in Rebellion. Pharaoh, a Man in Rebellion. And let's look at this. We want to go to Exodus, the fifth chapter, beginning with the first verse. Exodus 5 and 1. Pharaoh, a Man in Rebellion. Slavery to Freedom series, sermon number one. Let's look at this. Afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness." And Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, nor will I let Israel go." So they said, "The God of Hebrews has met with us. Please let us go 3 days' journey into the desert and sacrifice to the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword." And then the king of Egypt said to them, "Moses and Aaron, why do you take the people from their work? Get back to your labor." And Pharaoh said, "Look, the people of the land are many now, and you make them rest from their labor." So the same day Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, "You shall no longer give the people straw to make brick as before. Let them go and gather straw for themselves, and you shall lay on them the quota of bricks they made before, and you shall not reduce it, for they are idled." Therefore they cry out, saying, "Let us go and sacrifice to our God. Let more work be laid on the men, that they may labor in it, and let them not regard false words." And the taskmasters of the people and their officers went out and spoke to the people, saying, "Thus saith Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. Go get yourself straw where you can find it, yet none of your work will be reduced." So the people were scattered abroad throughout all the land of Egypt to gather stubble instead of straw. And the taskmasters forced them to hurry to saying, "Fulfill your work, your daily quota as when they were straw, with straw." And also the officers of the children of Israel, whom Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them, were beaten and were asked, "Why have you not fulfilled your task in making brick both yesterday and today as before?" Then the officers of the children of Israel came and cried out to Pharaoh, saying, "Why are you dealing thus with your servants?" Can I hear an amen to God's word? Amen. I want you to know today, as we open up in this story, we see that we have Pharaoh, the king, was over the children of Israel. He had had them in bondage for quite a long time. He had them building walls, laying brick, and working. And here God was speaking to Moses and Aaron to say, "Tell Pharaoh to let my people go, to offer up a sacrifice of how that I have blessed them, how that I have taken care of them." And Pharaoh says, "No, I don't know who your God is. I don't serve God. The people of Israel serve me. I've got them under control. I have got them in where I want them at. They're to build my kingdom. They're to build what I want them to build." And therefore, they continue to build. And guess what? Pharaoh increased the strength of the army, of the taskmasters, of working with them to build harder and harder, to create more work on them, to keep them from going anywhere. He did not want them to slow down. He wanted to continue to build in the way that he wanted them to go. I want you to know today, as we look at this, Exodus is a book, and it's a book about God's mercy, about making slaves free, and we're going to look at this. A book about God's man. The man of the hour was Moses, the deliverer. A book about God's might. The miracles of deliverance, as we will look at this, about the hand of God and how he began to move on the children of Israel. Moses and Aaron is before Pharaoh, and we see this. The people have accepted Moses, and he and Aaron go from Gershon to Memphis to meet Pharaoh, and considered that the faith that this meeting would require, they said, Pharaoh, let God's people go. Amen. Let God's people go. It's something about when the enemy tries to do everything he can to stifle you and try to slow you down and stop you from doing the work of the Lord and even stop you in your life, and the enemy is out, as we know, to kill, steal, and to destroy. He is out to try to do everything he can to mess you up, mess your family up, and to mess up every situation around you to keep you from being freed in Christ Jesus. You see, the enemy is out to cause you not to want to step forward. The enemy is out to not want you to step out in faith. The enemy is there to rely on yourself and not rely on the Lord Jesus Christ. The enemy is there to do everything he can to keep you from moving forward, even in this life. You see, I want you to know today, the Bible lets us know in Exodus 5:1, after Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness. In other words, Moses was there to direct what God had called him to do. And if we remember the story, how that Moses ran from the Lord, and how that Moses completely wanted to get away from the Lord, get completely away from everybody around him, and to head out into a desert area because he didn't want to have the responsibility. He didn't want to have anything to do. He wanted to run for his life. And I want you to know today, folks, we are not to run for our life away from the Lord Jesus Christ, but we are to run to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not to run away from the cross, but we are to run away. We are to run to the cross because we know that the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ brings victory unto us every day. Because guess what? We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities, rulers, wickedness, and dark and high places. We're dealing with a spiritual warfare in our lives day in and day out, and that's what the world does not understand, folks. When you accept Jesus Christ into your heart and life, then it becomes to the point where now you're wrestling against the enemy. You're wrestling against those principalities in this world that is wanting to sniff you out, wanting to take you down, wanting to bring you to where you are needing to go, and where the enemy wants to do is he wants to bring you down completely. I want you to know today, my first point today is this: Pharaoh rebels against the plan of God. Amen. Folks, if we're not careful, we will rebel against the plan of God for our lives. Because if we're not careful, we'll be wanting to do what we want to do, say what we want to say, go where we want to go, be what we want to be. And listen, folks, when we get in that mentality that we're going to do it the way we want to do it, then guess what? Then we're going to go against the plan of God, because God has a much better plan for your life than what you're planning out even as of right now. God has a greater plan for your life. And folks, for us to understand the greater plan of what God has in store for us, and that is for us to fully surrender to His Lordship and say, Lord, I surrender, Lord, because I want to see Your plan for my life. I don't want to plan out my own life, but I want to see what You have planned for my life. I've said it and will say it again. You're not here just merely in this world to just merely exist, live your life, and be buried 6 foot under. God has a plan and a purpose for your life right now. He wants you to do a work for Him. He's got things that He wants to do in your life so that you can continue to work for the Lord, continue to be the servant, continue to be the disciple, continue to be the good soldier in Christ Jesus, to let a little bit of love in this world and to let a little bit of light in this world comes from you and I, because when we hear from the Lord Jesus Christ and we hear the plan that God has for our lives, then guess what? We can tell them about the plan for their life. We can tell them that God has a plan for their life, that there's better days that are ahead, that God has everything orchestrated in our hearts and our lives, and it's for us to fully surrender and say, Lord, take charge of my life. The Bible lets us know in Exodus 5 and 2, and Pharaoh said, who is this Lord? Who is this man you're talking about? Who is this Lord that I should obey His voice to let Israel go? I do not know this Lord that you're talking about. I don't know. I don't serve Him. I'm my own man. I do my own thing. Nor will I don't know your God, and guess what? I'm not letting these people go. But Moses and Aaron was warning Pharaoh that you are to let God's people go. And listen, there is a situation that I want you to see here today, that when you're not wanting to do what God has asked you, and when you come into a rebellious spirit, because sometimes we can get rebellious. Let us not get into a rebellious spirit, because if we rebel against God, guess what? Sometimes God gives us exactly what we go against. Because listen, He's not a God with a billy bat that makes you do anything. He's not going to make you serve Him. He's not going to make you do anything. He gives us a free choice. And it's a choice whether you want to accept it and receive it or reject it. But here is Pharaoh that don't know God, and here is Pharaoh that rebels against God, and therefore he wants to do what he wants to do. Who is this Lord, Pharaoh said, that I should obey His voice? God had spoken and revealed His plan. God had already spoken. His plan then was to free Israel from slavery. His plan now is to free us from sin. God's plan is to free us out of bondage and cause freedom to come into our hearts and life. If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're still in bondage. You still have not been freed, because you've got things that you're tied up, you're tangled up in, you're wrapped up in, and you're not free, because it's controlling you. It's causing you to go a different direction. It's causing you to go away from God. If we're going to go with God and we're going to go to God, then we've got to have the plan of God in our hearts and in our lives. You see, Pharaoh's rebellion was like man through their centuries. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, there was rebellion. Israel's rebellion, even in the wilderness. The rejection of Christ by sinners today is still rebellion. That's why we have to pray for our families that are not saved. We must pray for our friends that are not saved. Why? Because the enemy has got them in a rebellious spirit, a rebellion. In other words, there's a blinders that's been put on their eyes. Have you ever been around somebody that you talked about the Lord and they didn't want to hear anything about the Lord? They didn't want to hear anything about Christianity. They didn't want to hear anything about what God's doing on in your life. That's why, because there's a rebellious spirit that's upon them. That's a rebellious, in other words, the enemy is putting blinders on their eyes so that they cannot see the light that you see. But praise be to the Lamb of God, you and I are salt and light to this world. You and I have received Jesus Christ into our hearts and life, and we have the victory. And only if they knew the Lord Jesus Christ, like you and I have known the Lord Jesus Christ, how that God would set them free and cause them to come out of the slavery and the bondage of the enemy, and how they can be freed by the chains being broken in the name of Jesus, they can be free. I want you to know today that as we live in this world, there will be rejection, there will be rebellion, and there will be a rebellious spirit as long as we are on this earth. But we must understand that God has a plan to reach each and every one. And yet His plan is still to, it includes in salvation and saving those that are lost. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believeth upon Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God still has grace and mercy to save this world. He still is in the saving business. Acts 16:31, so they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved, you and your household. Listen, His plan includes obedience to His word. 1 Samuel 15:22, so Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as it is obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, to heed than to the fat of the rams. For rebellion, here again, is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is an iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, He also has rejected you from being king. You see, I want you to know today we have to be very careful, because rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. You see, Saul was king of Israel, and we see at this moment that Samuel the prophet has come and said it was better for you to what? Obey than to sacrifice. Oh yeah, Saul wanted to save the best for everything and thought it would be great to save it before God, but no, God said destroy it. God says get rid of it. But because of his rebellion, he basically knocked him out and rejected him from being king because he did not do what God asked him to do. How many times has the Holy Spirit spoke to you and you rejected the Holy Spirit? How many times has God convicted you of something that you've said or something that you are doing? How many times has He said, you know you shouldn't say that, you know you shouldn't do that, you know you shouldn't this and that? How many times have you rejected that and continued on? Guess what? The rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Witchcraft is moving of the enemy of Satan, how that he is crafty in what he does, because he's out to kill, steal, and destroy. And understand what rebellion is rejecting God, rejecting His plan, and therefore we're going to be in dangerous ground if we're not careful, that we must call upon the Lord while the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, while the Holy Spirit is unctioning you, while the Holy Spirit is telling you, that is a time that we are to act, we are to receive, and to understand the plan of God. What God has in store for us is that we continue to live the victorious life, but we cannot do it if we allow rebellion. We cannot do it if we don't allow the Holy Spirit to begin to change our way of thinking and change our hearts to go in the right direction that the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to go. Give God praise in the house today. This lets us know, and this gives an example of how the world is and how Satan is. How that I don't know your God. I don't want to know your God. I'm going to do what I want to do. I am who I am. I don't answer to anybody. But my friend, I want you to know today, you can go down that road. You can reject God. You can be rebellious. You can do what you want to do. But I promise you, you will find yourself in a ditch and you will find yourself where you can't get out of what you're in. The Bible lets us know that if we continue on doing what we're doing, guess what? Our hearts will be hardened. And when our hearts are hardened, it is much harder to get in tune with God. It's much harder to get back where God is because we have hardened our hearts so much that it is calloused, that we cannot allow the Holy Spirit to have His way in our lives. And Pharaoh lets us know, as the world shows us, their hearts are hardened. And I want you to know today, we must not allow our hearts to be hardened. Listen, His plan includes His will for our lives. Colossians 1 and 9. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all His wisdom and spiritual understanding. This is what the Apostle Paul was telling the church. To be filled with knowledge, to understand and have the wisdom, to understand that the Holy Spirit may operate in your life. Don't rebel against God's plan. Let me say it again. Don't rebel against God's plan. My second point today is this. Pharaoh rebels against the person of God. Not only did he rebel against the plan of God, but he rebelled against the person of God. Exodus 5 and 2, and Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey His voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, nor will I let Israel go. I know not the Lord." Pharaoh states the condition even of his soul. How sad to know God, to know to know everything about what God does, but not the one who formed the earth. To know astronomy, but not the one who made the stars. To know music, but not the one who gives a song. To know the art, but not the one who creates beauty. To know the politics, but not the King of Kings. You see, we can know a lot of stuff, but does that stuff that we know, is it really relevant? Is it really important? To know all the stuff, but here's my point. My point is today, we need to get in touch with God. We need to know who God is. We need to know His plan for our lives. Because I want you to know today, the devil's got a plan for you. He's got a plan for me. He doesn't sleep, nor does he slumber. He is wide awake, 24 hours, 7 days a week, 365 days out of the year. He is going to do everything he can to try to bring us down. He's got a plan. Here's the question. Do you have a plan? Do you know God's plan? You see, we've got to know what the plan is. How can the military fight a battle without them knowing a plan, a strategic plan? How do they know? How can the commanders and all has to sit around the table? And they've got to talk about it. They've got to talk about strategy. They've got to talk about what's going on so that they will have a plan to do what, Pastor? To take the enemy out. Because if they don't have a plan to take the enemy out and execute the plan, they're not going to take the enemy out. The enemy's going to take them out. That's why you got to know the plan. You got to know the plan of what the devil's doing. You got to know his devices. You got to know what to look for. I've said it and we'll say it again. If he's not bothering you, that means he's got you. And he can go on to the next one. And he can go on to the next one. But if he's bothering you and he's messing with you and he's dealing with you, that means he ain't got you. And that's what we have to understand. The enemy is out to kill, steal, and destroy in our hearts and in our lives. Listen, Pharaoh rebels against the person of God. And we can know that the Lord by faith in Christ. The question is, do you know Him? Third, Pharaoh's rebels against the people of God. Pharaoh rebels against the people of God. Let's look at this right quick. I'm coming into my closing. Exodus 5 and 2. Neither will I let Israel go. Pharaoh's angry with Israel's burdens are lightened. And yet we see in Exodus 5 and 4, then the king of Egypt said to them, Moses and Aaron, why do you take the people from their work? Get back to your labor. And Pharaoh said, look, the people of the land are many now. And you have make them the rest for their labor. Israel's burdens increased again. Straw to be withheld. Again, as we see in Exodus 5 and 7. He continued to pressure them. He continued. Listen, it was generation after generation had already been developed. He had more he had more people at task. He had more workers working. More work to be demanded. And those who love God must also love His people. Rebellion always brings regret. Rebellion always brings regret. Submission to God and His will brings satisfaction and joy. Submission to God, to say, Lord, I submit to you. I submit to your will. He will bring satisfaction and joy. Yet let God have His way in your life and don't allow rebellion to take place. Don't have rebellion in your life, but say, Lord, I fully surrender to you. I fully surrender to you because God is a God that knows exactly. He knows exactly, knows our hearts and knows our life. So, Pharaoh, he rebels against the plan of God. Pharaoh, he rebels against the person of God. And Pharaoh rebels against the people of God. This lets us know that rebellion is very serious. And when we rebel against God's grace and His mercy, and we say that we don't want it, we're on dangerous grounds. We're on dangerous grounds. I don't know about you, but I want the mercy of God. I want the grace of God. I don't want to go into a rebellious stage. I want to go in a submissive stage to say, Lord, search me, as David said in the Bible, Lord, search me. See if there be any wicked way. Try me, Lord. Know my thoughts. Know me, Lord. In other words, He knows us inside and out, but the Lord is saying to us, He is just saying, just surrender. Just surrender. Say, Lord, have your way in my life. Stand with me across the building today. Listen.